Two Dances and a Duke by Eloisa James, performed by Felicity Foster. It was astonishing how easy it was to predict the future. In a mere 5 weeks, Miss Beatrice Valentine had discovered that she had no need to gaze at the stars, or, for that matter, into a crystal ball. She could make accurate predictions merely by peering at the ballroom from the shelter of a large fern. Query: will the lady dangling tangerine ribbons from her topknot drop her fan in front of the young man with the violet waistcoat? Prediction: a probability of nearly 100%. The lady in question had already dropped her fan 3 times in front of various men, as if she were sowing a field and hoping a husband would pop up. A version of that Greek myth about sowing dragon teeth and harvesting a crop of Spartan warriors. The lady's fan slipped from her gloved fingers at the same moment that Lady Sheffield's butler bellowed the names of new arrivals. The smile instantly fell off Bee's face, and her heart started pounding in her ears so loudly that she couldn't hear whatever else he said. She had thought that it was too late for new arrivals, that she was free for tonight. She would never have positioned herself so perilously close to the ballroom door if she'd known guests might arrive so late, let alone these guests. Bee swallowed hard. She would not disgrace herself by vomiting or crying. Words to live by. Her fern was no longer sufficient. She needed solid walls. A door with a latch, or even better, a lock. Their hostess, Lady Sheffield, rushed toward the ballroom entrance, her hand wrapped around her daughter Marguerite's forearm as she towed her across the floor. When the lady slid to a halt, out of breath and full of apologies for dismissing the receiving line, though, frankly, her guests were hours late, Lady Regina Charlotte Haywood, sister of the current Duke of Lennox, stepped forward and dropped a slight, if gracious, curtsy. Her fiancé, Lord Peregrine, bowed with the air of a man who didn't quite remember whose house he was in, and he didn't give a damn. In Bee's cynical opinion, Marguerite likely brushed her knees on the floor during her curtsy before Lord Peregrine. Rather than drop a fan, she gave him a long look at her cleavage. Lord Peregrine's chiselled eyebrows twitched when presented with a pair of large breasts bolstered by short stays, but his expression didn't change. A housekeeper would look more excited glancing over melons for sale. He was known as a rake, so perhaps he was bored by ladies' chests. Still, Bee couldn't help taking a shuddering breath of pure longing. His cravat was crumpled, and his chin was shadowed, a terrible faux pas for a gentleman. He couldn't have made it clearer that he had no interest in the opinions of society madams. Young ladies weren't supposed to feel waves of heat at the mere sight of a man's shoulders, especially those of bad men. Men with insolent eyes and a walk that wasn't a swagger, but Bee couldn't quite explain it. When they'd first met, his eyes had skimmed over her as if she was invisible. A sensible woman would despise him merely for that. Still, she couldn't help thinking that perhaps Lord Peregrine was so bored because no one ever made him laugh. Not that she was any good at making men laugh. But in her head, she was very witty. Just then, Regina's trilling laughter echoed around the ballroom. Bee's legs tensed with an impulse to flee, but she forced herself to take a deep breath instead.